Good afternoon, everyone. So this afternoon is supposed to be Ajahn Ram teaching the meditation class, but because he double booked himself, so he has something else to do, so I come down here to give this meditation class. Okay. Just wait for a few minutes. There's some people still coming in. Just recently someone came to me, and especially sometimes like it's a very common thing that people say that when they meditate they feel tired. You know, after sitting 2 hours they're tired. So I said, when you feel tired, that means you use a lot of willpower to try very hard to focus. So even some people meditate for 20 years, they still have this problem. You know, because it's not relaxed. And when I tell the person, I said, you have to relax more. He said, I really relax. You know, but because of when you used to wear it tense, you know, like you say, come on, get your act together, I better focus. And the harder you try to focus on the breath, and you become very tense. So I said, you have to relax, just keep relaxing. They said, I already relaxed. But even though she said she tried very hard to relax, but still tense. Because sometimes it becomes a habitual pattern. Like some people used to be very tense. Even though they try to relax, they're still tense. You know, they're still not relaxed enough. Sometimes you have to just relax. You know, letting go. Because especially I noticed that many, sometimes beginners, especially these meditators, when they started to meditate, actually most of them they find it like easier when after that they feel that they're stuck. Because at the beginning you're more easy, you know, and have no expectation. You just sit and you just relax and you just sit. And then they have good meditation. They said sometimes that a lot of people focus so much, they put in so much energy and willpower to try to focus on the meditation object. So actually, cultivation of the mind is not only the focus. You need to have mindfulness and also right effort. Because a lot of people put in a lot of effort into try to do the meditation, try very hard to focus on the meditation object, and they don't spend enough time to in the present moment awareness just compared to the basic. Sometimes people, you know, very quick they want to go into the deep stuff, and I can tell, you know, like sometimes like people want to have very deep meditations, you know, but they don't even have the basic mindfulness. You know, sometimes it's important what go before, you know, that you sit on the cushion is very important. Everyday life, actually not to develop those bad habits. You know, sometimes the habit like, you know, whenever you do, you never focus. Sometimes you do halfway, you do another thing, and then halfway you do other thing. Your mind just keep following your thoughts. And that, even you don't have that basic mindfulness in our daily life, it's very difficult when we sit in meditation, it's very difficult to focus, because those deep state, the mindfulness is really super duper, it's really strong. So if you haven't got that, if you haven't got the basic mindfulness, if you don't establish that, if you don't have a good foundation, so we have nothing to build upon. Sometimes it's very important that sometimes that you have to go back to the basic, create this good meditation karma. So things happen according to the causes and conditions. So we have to put in the causes. You know, why is it so difficult to focus? And it's important that we develop a good attitude towards the meditation and how we live our life. It's important because if how we live our life like is very heedless, you know. And whatever we do, we don't focus, you know, and then we are not mindful. Whatever we do, so become very sloppy, you know, and then we think that we spend so much time on the cushion and then we try very hard to focus, use a lot of willpower. No, you need to have your wisdom power, not the willpower to try to focus on the object. I remember once I did one retreat, and my friend told me that, you know, normally in retreats that, you know, you see other people sitting and then you think everybody having good meditation except me, you know. Everybody having a good time except me. Poor me, I struggle so hard. And she was struggling so hard, she told me. And then she saw one guy sitting for 4 hours, never move. And she was admiring this guy, you know. Wow, he's really peaceful. Oh, he's really, you know, oh, I hope that I can sit like him. And then the moment this guy got up from his cushion, he's beating, he's also a lot of agitation, he's beating the mosquito. Just imagine how much willpower he's using while he's sitting. He tried to focus, he tried to force his mind to focus on the object. So actually it's counterproductive. You can't force the mind. It has to go naturally. That's why it's good that, you know, you relax your mind first before you sit. Spend more time, especially when in our daily life, you know, we've been busy. What do we expect when we sit down? You do not expect the mind to just, you know, to be peaceful immediately. You can't. You need to allow the mind to have enough time, like the transition period, you know, to let the mind calm down first. So when you relax, you know, when you let go, you relax, not expecting anything. Just in the present moment, awareness, just at ease and at peace with whatever happening. Even though we have lots of thoughts, thinking, you know, and one after another, we just sit there, beware of the thoughts. Just allow that to be, you know. So you have to allow your mind slow down first before you be able to become still, isn't it? You have to slow down before your mind becomes still. It's just like a car when you travel too fast. You can't just brake. You just can't pull your brake, you know. Then the car will topple over. So you have to slow down first. That's why you have to spend more time, allow the mind to relax, you know. So that's like one thing that is good that that you can do when you sit down. You just try to relax your body. Just try to bring your attention into your body and to be just aware of your body, your sensation, your feelings. If you feel that it's tight, and just tell yourself that relax, relax. Relax, and it's just like a mantra. It's just like it's got this calming effect, you know, just calming your mind down. So then when you relax, and actually it's very easy when your body relax, your mind relax, you're not tense up. Because sometimes then we come from the craving, we want to focus on the breath and so that we can get into that deeper state. And when we come for the one thing, when we want something, when we want to achieve something, the more we want it, we won't get it. Because when we want something, you can feel your body tense up, isn't it? It's really very tense. So that's like, if you want to have good meditation, you have to create that, you know? Everyday life, you know, whatever you do, you know, do one thing at a time. Try to do one thing at a time. So when you do something at this moment and you remember something else, don't stop and put this thing aside and do another thing. No, you finish it. So one thing at a time. Because if you keep following the thought and become a happy path, it becomes like mental habitual pattern. You keep doing that. And you develop this not a good habit. So old habit die hard. So it's important that if every day, you know, not to underestimate all these small things, especially in your daily life. Even when you are working, you still can apply this in your daily life. Try to do one thing at a time. So when you do one thing at a time, this is how you develop your mindfulness. Your mindfulness becomes strong because your energy will not you don't flow out your energy, because when you focus, when you do one thing at a time, so you contain, you conserve your energy. So if you're running after the thoughts, you know, one thing after another, so your energy is just, you know, going out, flow out. So you feel tired. So when you don't have mental energy, you feel easily, you know, when someone is have no energy, it tends to feel depressed. That's why it's important that you have to cultivate this, not only the time that you sit on the cushion, but throughout the whole day, whatever you do, try to do it quietly. Even sweeping, when you do sweeping, you just focus on the movement and try to do one thing at a time. And all this because, like, day-to-day activities, the object is causer. You know, the movement, you know, that those object is a causal object. So it's easy to focus. The breath, you know, when you sit in meditation, the breath is more subtle compared to other movement, you know, other object or sensations or feelings, their causal object. So if you be able to build up that mindfulness, you know, with this, especially on this causal object, then it helps you when you sit in meditation, it's easier. Just imagine if you are not able to build up your mindfulness, not be able to focus on a causal object. Do you think that you'll be able to focus on a more subtle object like breath is more subtle? So that's why it's important that you, every day what you do, and apply that in your daily life. Even when you work, you can do that. You know, even though, for example, I'm busy, I have lots to do, but no matter whatever I do, I just focus this moment, all my energy into this moment, whatever I do in this moment, because all our future lies in this moment. So whatever is important, like this moment, we'll be able to focus, then the next and the next and the next. So what, one step at a time and one moment at a time, keep bringing your mind back to this moment, whatever you do. So you got into the habit, it's just like a default setting. So you keep bringing your mind back. So that's why when you sit in meditation, even your mind running all over the place, is okay. You know, you just sit there. You know, you just, whenever you aware that your mind wander off, you just very gently bring your attention back to the breath again. No matter how many times, you just keep bringing it back, keep bringing back. I can guarantee you, if you train your mind that way, you keep doing that way, after a while, it's become very natural. Your mind do not wander off very far. Because you keep bringing the mind back, you know, bringing the mind back. Maybe at the beginning you get lost without knowing. Maybe sometimes you get lost in your thinking for a while. Then you realize, oh, I'm thinking. It's okay. You bring your mind back. When you keep doing that, to a certain point, your mind won't go far. I can guarantee you, your mind won't, like, for example, maybe first time you meditate, maybe your mind, you know, travel to Siberia without even knowing, you know. Then you realize, oh, I'm thinking. So this is how you have to train the mind, keep training the mind, training the mind. Then the mind just like automatic, you know, like the default setting, the mind just automatic, like, you know, it's toxic, you know. Then it's bring the mind back, and then you keep bringing back, and keep bringing back. You have to be really patient. There's no overnight. You cannot just force the mind, you know, overnight, you know, and focus on the object. You can't, because our mind been doing that for many, many, you know, if some believe in, you know, as a Buddhist, we believe rebirth. So many lifetimes, if you don't believe in rebirth, you know, from the moment you born till now, it's so long, you know, we've been doing that. You cannot change that immediately. So you have to keep training the mind. Keep training the mind. Just sit and just relax and relax. So actually it's natural. When your body relax, your mind relax, and actually, it's very naturally, you'll be able to focus on the breath very easily. You don't have to force your mind to focus onto the object. It's come naturally. And also, it's important that also what go before, what went before, you meditate, you know, throughout the whole day. So it's important you create that good meditation time. You relax and you develop that mindfulness. You cultivate this basic mindfulness. So the cultivation of the mind is not only focus. So if mindfulness, you develop this day to day mindfulness and also the focus. Because as the stillness increase, your mindfulness increase. As your mindfulness increase, your stillness increase. This is how the hand in hand they're helping each other. So if every day in our life we develop that day to day mindfulness, it helps us in our sitting meditation. So in our sitting meditation, the focus itself, because the more powerful your mindfulness, then the mind becomes still easily. So then when your mind is really still, actually you develop your mindfulness. Your mindfulness becomes stronger. You strengthen your mindfulness. So when you go back to day-to-day life, and again that in your day-to-day activities, actually your mindfulness becomes stronger. You strengthen it. So when you strengthen your mindfulness, your stillness strengthens. When you strengthen your stillness, you strengthen your mindfulness. So they all work together. A lot of people tend to separate these two. They say, I practice mindfulness and I practice. No, you cannot separate two together. So when you practice stillness, you need to have mindfulness. So when you practice mindfulness, you need to have stillness. Even everyday, day-to-day activities, there is stillness there. You know, we are aware of that. So the cultivation of the mind has two components, these three parts. It's not only focus, you have to have the mindfulness, stillness, and effort, right effort. Right effort, that means that whenever there's not to allow that unwholesome thoughts to arise. So keep that unwholesome thoughts away. Because that disturbs your mind. It's very difficult to calm your mind down. And very easily we get sucked in. So that is the right effort. So stop the mind from reacting to the unwholesome thoughts. So when the unwholesome thoughts already arises, so we try to the first one is to prevent the unwholesome thoughts arise. So when it's already arise, you know, then we try to abandon it. If we can't abandon the unwholesome thoughts, then we replace it. So deliberately to bring in a thoughts of loving kindness, bring in some wholesome thoughts. So when your mind fills with wholesome thoughts, so unwholesome thoughts don't have the chance to creep in. You maintain, and then you maintain that wholesome thoughts. You know, so that's why sometimes like day-to-day activities, like it's good to have reflection, you know, contemplation, you know, to have reflect. Because this is what we think we become. For example, if someone very negative, they're thinking of all the negative stuff. So whatever arises is all negative. So this is how you develop mental habitual pattern, inclined towards wholesome qualities. So when your mind inclined wholesome qualities, it's easy, it's help, it supports your meditation. So that's like we practice the whole path. Meditation is only one factor. So we have to practice, we have to the morality, we have to live a virtuous life. A virtual life as a foundation for a peaceful mind. So only with the peaceful mind, still mind, we have the clarity, then only we have the wisdom. So all this whole path is all come together. So the cultivation of the mind is not only, it's just mindfulness itself, it just snap easily. If just focus, it's also not good enough. You know, some people just say that, oh, I'm mindful that I'm angry. But when I ask them, why are you still angry? I know that I'm angry. But, you know, and someone said that, oh, you know that you're angry, and then eventually you do something unwholesome or you hit someone, you know. So it's just like, you know that this is unwholesome, you have to stop that, isn't it? So that is the right effort, you have to stop that. Restrain the mind. That's like keeping the precept, that is the virtuous life actually is to create that foundation for a peaceful mind. So because when we have a lot of unwholesome thoughts in our mind, it's very difficult to focus, isn't it? Just for example, if you have an argument with someone, and after that you try to sit and meditate, how is it like? Fuming, isn't it? Oh, how about just now the conversation, very angry, very upset. That's why it's important that if you want to have a good meditation, you have to create the condition. So the most basic Buddhist teaching, things happen according to causes and conditions. We have to create the condition for a peaceful mind, for a still mind. So we have to make that good karma, good meditation karma. It's not just happen like by using willpower or try to by using willpower, you don't get too far. And most of the times when you use willpower, it becomes counterproductive. So you have to develop the wisdom. You know, that's why it's important that, you know, spend more time when you start to meditate in the present moment at Venice. Just relax first before you force yourself to focus on the meditation object. So any questions or comments? Okay. So we can sit now. Just choose a comfortable posture and just relax your body. Just bring your attention into the body. Just aware the sensations, the feelings of your body. If you feel any part of your body, if they feel tight or very tense, you just tell yourself, relax. Just allow your body to relax. It's like a mantra. Relax. Just relax. As your body relax, you feel calm. Just opening the door of your heart to this moment. Just relax and allow the breath come to you.
Okay, there's one question from Melissa from Hawaii. The question is, sometimes during meditation, I start to feel like nothing, and I get scared to let go and fall deeper. Any suggestions on how not to be afraid or what might be happening? Because this has come from the attachments of our sense of self. So they say sometimes, like, even though sometimes people ask me, why people holding on to things that even cause them lots of suffering? So we all really fear of the unknown, something that we don't know. We rather holding on to something that we know. And if it's because if it's something that we know, even we suffer because it's still me, it's still that, it's I still exist. But because of, you come to that state, you know, when your mind, you know, when you're experiencing the mind, so you have to let go of your body. But we've been attached to the body so much. So that's why it's important, like this one, my suggestion is that it's good that every day we do contemplations to remind ourselves that this body eventually, you know, that we're holding on to, we cannot hold on. So we're going to subject one of the contemplations. The Buddha encourages all to contemplate. He said we should do that every day. We should remind ourselves. So we reflect that, you know, this body is subject to old age, sickness and death. So we are going to die one day. So eventually we have to let go of this body. So because this fear is come from that you losing that your body, you're losing the sense of self. The sense of self, because we identify ourselves with the body. So that's like one of the contemplation is really useful. That is, you do reflections on death, that, you know, impermanence. So that this is how, because we can't expect ourselves to let go just overnight. No, we can't do that. The letting go only happens little by little. So we have to do that. We have to remind ourselves, keep reminding ourselves. We reflect that, you know, what happened if we die? Whether you're ready or not ready, you still let go. Because this is coming from the fear of losing the sense of self, you know, the body. You know, have to let go. Because of when you into that state of mind, into that state, because you're experiencing the mind, you let go all the senses, you have to let go. But because of we so used to with our senses, isn't it? So one day if we lose that, it's very difficult, because it comes from the attachment to our body and to all the senses that we've been identifying ourselves with, you know. And it's very difficult to let go. That's why this is getting in the way. That's why you can't go deeper if you can't let that go. So that's like one of this contemplation is really good, that we remind ourselves, that is reflect, you know, that on reflection on impermanence, reflection on death, that, you know, no matter, you know, no one is going to live forever, you know. So sometimes we think that only those people that having terminal illness, they are dying. In fact, we all are dying, isn't it? We all are, you know, we don't know how long we're going to live. So eventually, you know, you learn to let go. Of course, it's very difficult to let go. I mean, we can't do it, you know, just the last moment. That's why the practice is that we reflect on that, one of this contemplation on impermanent death, and then reflect on our body is subject to old age, illness, and eventually we will all die. No one death is not optional. So we all will face that death. So that's why it's not easy to let go, you know. If we are not attached to this body, we are not attached to being in, if we don't want to be exist, we are not here. So that's why theoretically we understand, but deep down, we can't let it go, you know what I mean? So that's why it's important that one of these contemplations that we keep reflecting and contemplate on that, on death. I'm subject to death, I'm subject to old age, I'm subject to illness. So eventually one day, no matter how much we love this body, we love our family, our loved ones, we have to leave everything behind. You know, we can't take that, we can't take anything with us. So there is one part that will help us to let go, the sense of self. This is a very good reflection. The Buddha encourages us to do that, and this is will help. But of course, this will not happen overnight, the letting go. So we can only let go a bit by bit, you know. So that's why now we practicing this letting go, you know, throughout our life until the moment that we need to let go. So from Sri Lanka, Upo Kumara, from Sri Lanka, when a severe pain comes during meditation, how to maintain mindfulness without getting out from meditation tanks? So it depends on the meditations some people, the pain actually is coming from maybe you have some injuries in your body or your knee, you know, that kind of injuries. If you are really in pain, if to the point that you cannot stand, so you have to get up mindfully, you know, to change the posture. So, but if the pain is coming from mentally, it's not physically. It's just like what I have experienced when I, the first time when I went for a first meditation retreat. Because it's an intensive meditation retreat, so I have to sit and walk and sit and walk, you know, get up, you know, 3:30 in the morning, start meditating and walking and sitting, you know, and until at night, 9:30, just imagine. The first day I'm okay, come to the third day, my body's become so painful that I can't even, you know, I can't see. It's really painful because the moment I sit on the floor, I was so painful that I had to use many cushions. I had to use 5 cushions, 3 on my back, sitting on my, I sit on 3 cushions and put 1 on each side of my leg, you know, here, the both sides here. So, even with that, it's still very painful to a point that I couldn't stand. So I get up to walk. So when I walk, my leg is so heavy that I can't even lift, and I got slot and topper. I find it so difficult, I couldn't sit and I couldn't walk, to a point that I'm really like I was really in tears. I was really thinking, I'm going back, I couldn't stand anymore. And then, but because of the ego, you know, because everybody knows that I'm doing this retreat. If they know that I can't stand and I pulled out, you know, then I shouldn't have told people that I'm going for the retreat. So then I was thinking, but I don't know what to do. Then after that, the moment I really let go, thinking, okay, it's okay with the pain. Just let the pain take my life. I'm just okay because even I'm not afraid of death, that moment that you really let go. So I just pull all my cushions away and I sit on it's a marble floor. I just sit on it. That moment, all my pain gone. And actually I realized that it's my mentor. It's because I'm holding on to not wanting the pain. So the more we do want the pain, so actually we reinforce the pain. So if the pain is come from our own creations, you know, because our mentally that we don't want this pain, we try to get rid of the pain. The more we want to get rid of the pain, that is craving not to be. So when then actually we are holding on. So if we still crave, but it's craving not to be. We don't want the pain. So the more we craving not to be, the more we try to get rid of the pain, we feel even more intense because we reinforce that. And I realized that. So then I let it go and I allowed the pain. You know, it's okay. Even if I die of pain, it's fine. So the moment when I really let go, I have no pain. And I had really good meditation. And that is my really first insight that to deal with pain. Because I realized that actually it's my own attachment. My own attachment. I don't want the pain. So I want the pain to go away. So I try to do all sorts of things. Try to use cushions, try to do this and that. We try to manipulate, we try to control, we try to make the pain go away. So if the more we try to let the pain go, to make the pain go away, we reinforce that. So that's why it's important we come to a place of acceptance. If you accept that it's okay, the pain is there. So actually when you accept that not fighting, actually you feel less painful. Isn't it? Sometimes in life that when we fight so much, you know, that we not wanting that. I remember that, you know, as you know, in Australia, when you're over 50, yeah, every 2 years, you have this letter to ask you to do all this kind of medical checkup. At the beginning, I have lots of resentment. Like, oh, I don't have to do that. I'm healthy. I'm okay. I don't want to do it, you know. So, of course, I keep receiving those notice, you know, keep asking me to do it. And I realize that, why? I want to fight. So, it's okay. So, whatever they want me to do, this test, I do. So, I let the body, I give it to the doctor. It's okay. Do whatever you like. I become more at ease and at peace. But the more we fight, actually, we create more suffering for ourselves, not accepting. So actually, when we accept the pain, actually, itself is letting go. You know, letting go is not trying to get rid of things. When we accept that situation, we accept, you know, whatever we're experiencing in this moment, actually, itself is letting go. But of course, sometimes people have injuries, you know, in the body. So then you have to use our own discretion. It's come from injuries, then you have to get up, because we have monks that force themselves to sit. They have to have a knee operation because they push themselves, they try to sit through the pain. So it depends. Like my case, actually, it's not that I have problem with my body. It's not that I have injuries. It's all come from mental side. So if you come from mental side, so when you let go, the pain is gone. Because the more we're holding on, you know, the more we don't want the pain to be there, so we experience more pain, we reinforce that. So when we accept the pain, that is letting go. So if we have problem with our, you know, knee or any parts of the body, if the pains come from injuries, and we have problem with that, so it's always good to just mindfully, you know, to get up, you know, to stretch your body, and you can just change your posture and you just continue to sit. You just get up, you know, you're just very mindfully aware of your movement, aware of how you get up. Because the mindfulness is still there, the mindfulness is continuing. It's the only thing that you're changing your posture from one to another. Mindfully change from one posture to another. So your mindfulness is still continuing. But not just get up, you know, like that. So when you just get up like that, then you lose your mindfulness. But very mindfully, you know, to aware of the posture, to aware of your every movement, you know, your sensation, your feelings, then you actually are changing your object. So you're still practicing mindfulness, but your mindfulness, your change from breath to your bodily movement, your mindfulness on bodily movement. So that will help. So any questions or comments? Okay, no questions, no comments. So okay, that's the end of this meditation session. Okay, thank you.